Where are we at in society today? Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Go ahead. Make my day.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this. I don't go out there and laugh. It's not funny. It's not fun. Nothing's funny to me. I don't want to go out there and get embarrassed on Monday Night Football in front of everybody.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
So ain't nothing changed from yesterday. Still the same person I was yesterday. And I got the same thing for you that I had yesterday. You know why I'm here.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out. Because it matters.
Hey, good way to start this Thursday. Welcome, everyone. Lexus and Bros. Monday through Friday, 6 until 9, throughout the great state of Michigan. I'm Matt Shepard. That's our producer. You can call him on the Meyer Hotline, 866-838-4843. Tigers, a winner yesterday, 4-1. They win the series from the Cardinals. That is four straight series wins for Detroit. Now, we focus, a lot of people focus a lot on the negative, unfortunately. It's bothersome sometimes. For me, too. But that's what it's about. Baseball is about, you're not going to win every game. You should know that. You do know that. There are just certain times where you look back and you're like, God, that's the one game you let get away. First game of the doubleheader 2 days ago, right? Okay. But it's about winning series. If you can win series, you're in great shape. You're going to win your division. It's as simple as that. You're going to win. The more series wins you have, and I'm not talking games. I'm talking about series wins. That's the goal. You beat Cardinals in a series. You beat the Royals in a series. You beat the Rays in a series. And you feel pretty good about yourself. And you should. You also beat the Twins in a series. So the last series loss was to the Rangers. Now the Twins have played really good ball as of late. They've won 10 in a row. Detroit's 17 wins entering May is the second most in franchise history. Only the eventual World Series champions, 1984 World Series Tigers, were better. They were 18-2. What? Yeah, I know. 18-2. Yes, that's the famous 35-5. Remember, though, that team won its first 17 road games. Those are a couple of things I don't think will be duplicated. Last year, to give you perspective, last year Detroit was 10-17 entering May. Now, granted, I mean it's May 2nd, so yesterday was May 1st, but I'm just, you know, we haven't really been able to dive into May just yet. So there's your situation right there. Kenta Maeda got his first win as a Tiger. Four hits over six innings. Pretty solid. Matt Vierling had three RBIs. Detroit has kind of owned St. Louis in interleague play. I told you yesterday, anytime the Tigers take on the Cardinals, or maybe it was 2 days ago, I think it was yesterday, I think of World Series because they've met in the World Series three times, with St. Louis winning two out of the three. But Detroit has owned them. They're 31-16 against St. Louis all-time in interleague play. Now they're off to New York to take on the Yankees. And, look, it's a Yankees team that is has shown to be somewhat vulnerable at times. 8-5 at home. They've come back down to earth a little bit. They split their last 10 games. They're 20-12 on the year after a win in Baltimore yesterday. We'll see what happens with that. I don't know if that's the measuring stick, but I will tell you this. We're 31 games deep. you're getting a little bit closer to recognizing who your team truly is. Detroit will have today off while the Yankees play in Baltimore. Carlos Rodon throws for the Yankees here today. Game one tomorrow against New York. Reese Olson against Marcus Stroman. That's the scheduled starter anyway. On Saturday, so it's a good weekend to be in the Big Apple. On Saturday, Casey Mize against Clark Schmidt. And then the wrap-up has Tarek Skubal against Nestor Cortez. And then it's off to Cleveland, who is leading the division. And again, it's early, but at some point, and I say that quite a bit, I used to say it while calling games, and I think a lot of people say that, it is early. When you play 162 games and you're only 31 games deep, it is early. However, at some point, you and I are going to stop saying it's early. When that is up to the individual. What did Sparky Anderson used to say? Give me 40 games. And then you get a better idea. Now, there are exceptions to the rule, right? Houston 2006, I think, struggled and then reached the World Series. But the point is, you're starting to see this team, and it looks pretty good at times. Right? The pitching is definitely keeping them in it. And it's funny how a series win can kind of change your mood a little bit. Because yesterday we're talking about missing an opportunity in game one. Then you score 11 runs. You feel like, oh, okay, not bad. Don't let victories or even losses, don't let either one cloud your judgment on what you think is happening or question certain things. It's all right. Still, 8 hits isn't a ton, okay? You got to give some credit where credit is due. St. Louis played halfway decent, too. How good are the Cardinals? I don't know. We don't know yet. We know there are 3 games under 500, but we're just not sure. And I would guess people in St. Louis are saying the same thing about Detroit. Now you lost to a pretty good team. Are they? We don't know yet. We do think, and I think it's important here, we do think that we've got some offensive issues that need to be figured out. But it's a pretty cool moment for Matt Vierling, who picked up his 3rd home run of the season. A 2-run blast in the 3rd off Miles Mikolas. To do it against his hometown team. He's a 5th-round draft pick out of Notre Dame, but grew up in Missouri. And St. Louis was his hometown team. So that's kind of a neat moment. A couple days ago, we had Wensil Perez had his first 2-home-run game. That was a neat moment. There are certain things that take place during a season. You're like, oh, this is really cool. I like it. Memorable stuff. In the NHL last night, Stars beat the Vegas Knights 3-2. It's the first time the home team has won a game in the series. And they lead the series by that 3-2 score. Oilers over the Kings. Edmonton wins the series and eliminates LA for a 3rd straight year. Leon Draisaitl had 2 goals. Connor McDavid had a couple of assists. 11 in the series for McDavid. Most in franchise history, which surprised me. And then Boston is in Toronto tonight. The Leafs, get this, they have lost 6 straight home playoff games. The Bruins, in the meantime, have lost 5 consecutive series clinching games, which tells you what? The old cliche, go ahead, something's got to give. NBA finals from last night. And don't forget, speaking of the NBA, James Edwards of The Athletic is going to join us. We'll talk Pistons and the NBA coming up here on a Thursday morning edition of X's and Bros. Stay with us. We're back with more after this across the great state of Michigan.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey Bottle Neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
Friday, July 26th at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. The Offspring. Pretty Fly for what? Same show, same night. Simple Plan. Plus special guest Huba Stang. Part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series. Tickets as low as $26 and on sale now at the Soaring Eagle box office or online at etix.com. Party hard, rock harder. The Offspring, Simple Plan, and Huba Stang. July 26th, showtime 7 p.m. Details at SoaringEagleCasino.com.
After the hour, welcome back, X's and Bros, Monday through Friday, 6 until 9 here on the Michigan Sports Network across the great state of Michigan. We are on in Flint on WTRX, Sports Extra, 1330 AM. We're on in Cadillac, WKAD, The Ticket, 93.7 FM. In Grand Rapids on WMAX, 96.1 FM, The Game. Up in Grayling and Gaylord, WGRY, 101.1 FM, Up North Sports Radio. How about the MIT, WLUN, 100.9, that serves Midland, Saginaw, and Bay City. We're on in Petoskey and Charlevoix, WMBN, 104.7 FM, The Ticket, Northern Michigan. And The Ticket up in Traverse City as well, WKAD, 93.7. NBA from last night. Celtics led wire to wire. They post a 118-84 win to eliminate the Heat. Jaylen Brown, Derek White each had 25. Boston's going to play either Cleveland or Orlando. And then this is a little bit of a surprise. Maybe it's because in basketball, probably more than any other sport, home court advantages, I don't know, it just seems like more home court advantage than home ice, more home court advantage than home field. In baseball or football, that would be my guess without really looking up the percentages. And sometimes those can be skewed. But Dallas, a 123-93 winner over the Clippers, largest loss in playoff history for LA. Luka Doncic, and he's been hurt with a bad right knee. 35 points, 10 rebounds, 20 of his 35 came in the second half. Mavs lead that series 3-2. You would expect them to go home and wrap things up. How you do that is similar to if you had a chance to watch Boston at all. Boston just dominated Miami from the very get-go. Look, they're a better team than Miami. There's no question about that. Miami with out a couple of big pieces, really big pieces, Rozier and obviously Jimmy Butler. So Celtics should get that done, right? But that doesn't mean it always happens. I mean, look what Milwaukee did to Indiana the other day, and they did it without Antetokounmpo, and they did it without Lillard. So you just never know. I think you know this. This happened yesterday. Mike Trout is out for a good part of this season. He'd be lucky to play, I don't know, 95 games or so. He's got to have surgery. We mentioned this yesterday. I think there are some people starting. They're not questioning whether or not he's a Hall of Fame player. There's no doubt he is. There's no doubt. All right? He's the best player of his generation. And if you can't give him that, one of them. The injuries are troublesome. 36 games in 2021, 119 games the year next, 82 games last year. Let's say he plays 95 this year. For as durable as he was early on in his career, playing at least 157 games in each of his first 4 seasons, he has struggled since. with injuries. Why that is, I don't know. People speculate. I'm not going to go there. We do know this. In his career, he's a 300 hitter, 299, if you'll allow me to round up. He's gotten much better defensively. Wins above replacement is really big for a lot of people. And he's fifth all-time among center fielders. You know who's better? Willie Mays, the Tigers' Ty Cobb, Tris Speaker, and Mickey Mantle. Mays' WAR, just so you know, 156.2. That's nuts. It's absolutely crazy. Speaker's at 135.2. Cobb is at 151.4. You're not, there's no way you're surpassing that, all right? Trout's WAR is about 14 over the last few years. It's pretty damn good. I don't know if you've ever done this. Go to baseballreference.com. It's easy to access. And they have a baseball grid that you can play. I've played it quite a bit. And my son and I, my oldest son and I, play it quite a bit, and then we kind of compare. And we played it yesterday. And it's just a cool little grid where you'll say like the Tigers at the top, and then on the left it'll be St. Louis. So they want you to fill in, give me a player who's played for the Tigers and the Cardinals. Actually, basketball does this, football does this, hockey does it. They all have this grid. Ben, have you ever played that by chance?
No.
Have you ever? It's really cool. It really tests you, okay? And what you try to do, the easy thing to do, you know, would be like Jack Flaherty for Tigers and Cardinals. You don't want to do that because the percentage is probably very high. So you want to find somebody who has played for both, but it's a rare combination. It's not someone most people would think of, okay? So, for example, you know, my son put in Edgar Renteria. That was his for the Cardinals and the Tigers. That's a good one. Or Tigers and White Sox was next. So down the left side, you had Cardinals and you had White Sox and you had another category, and then you have something along the top three, all right? So, for example, Tigers, White Sox, who would you put? So a lot of people immediately go, oh, Chet Lemon. I put Steve Kemp. And the percentage for Steve Kemp was 0.3%. In other words, 0.3% of the people got Steve Kemp. Another one was 300 home runs for a White Sox player. I put Frank Thomas. My son put Paul Konerko. Those are the only two who have hit 300 homers. You don't want to go look it up. That's kind of cheating. But you want to figure it out. You put a MVP. All right? Who was a Tigers MVP? They had that down. Left side was most valuable player. And then the category is MVP. So I had Hank Greenberg. Because I figured a lot of people put Miguel Cabrera, right? I put Hank Greenberg. Anyway, the rarity I got was 66, which is pretty, I was pretty happy with. Mike Trout will be in that discussion down the road, but one of them was a 6 WAR. Did you have who had a 6 WAR and an MVP season? Because 6 WAR was pretty good. I put Carl Yastrzemski. But just to give you an idea, what made me think of it was, you know, the wins above replacement. Trout posting about 14 WAR since the start of 2020. So he's not catching any of those guys. He's not catching Cobb. He's not catching Mays. He's not catching Speaker. Probably won't catch Mickey Mantle, who's at 110.2. And then people wonder about the homers and the RBIs and the hits and so on. I don't think Mike Trout's getting 3,000 hits. I don't think he's getting 500 homers. He'll get 400 easy. He's at 378 right now. The RBIs, you know, okay, and runs, those are, those to me, the RBIs I think are important. But look, this is, this is a guy who drives in, what, he can easily, he'll easily average 85 RBIs, 90 RBIs, but he hasn't had more than 80 since 2019. You know, MVPs, all that stuff. No doubt he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. It just, here's the thing that differentiates them. Will he be considered one of the greatest of all time in center field? If the injuries continue, if he's not playing games, it's hard to do that. It's hard to think that. Not when you've got so many others. Our phone number, by the way, on the Meyer hotline, 866-838-4843. James Edwards of the Athletic will join us at 8:35. It's a little bit later on here on X's and Bros on a Thursday morning throughout the great state of Michigan. Stay with us.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Five after the hour, a couple hours from now, we'll talk with James Edwards of The Athletic. If you missed any of our conversation yesterday, remember the conversation with Ben Raven from MLive? We'll play that about an hour from now. Okay? We'll do that because it was an informative one. So 7:35, Ben Raven from MLive, a replay. And then 8:35, James Edwards from The Athletic. I wanted to ask people about covering games. Because I've read some things recently where more and more broadcasters are calling out umpires. It happened the other day in the Twins broadcast. Byron Buxton was injured. And one of the umpires was telling him, in so many words, let's hustle it up, okay, to get off the field. He wasn't feeling really good, all right? So Rob Drake was the first base umpire. And kind of was a little upset with Buxton's pace and wanted him to hurry to get off the field. And, the Bally Sports North crew didn't like it too much. LaTroy Hawkins, Corey Provis. So they were critical of him, which is, you know, hey, that's fine. Same thing happened in the Baltimore game. Baltimore Orioles I forget who. I don't know if it was Gunnar Henderson at the plate. But of course, who do you have behind the dish? C.B. Buckner, who's you shouldn't know umpires' names. You shouldn't know referees' names. Those are the people who are supposed to be silent, but help the game along. It's not a good thing if you're recognizing umpires on a regular basis. Oh boy, we got Angel Hernandez. Oh boy, we got C.B. Buckner. Uh-oh, we've got Teddy Valentine. Those are not good things. TV Ted is what they called him. He embraced that stuff in college basketball. C.B. Buckner behind the plate calls a strike three that was clearly low. It was Gunnar Henderson. Yeah, thank you. And Jim Palmer just says, you know what? He shouldn't be umpiring, and he is, and they know it. There's two different situations where they are calling out the people who are policing their game. Do you remember before the playoffs began in the NBA, Anthony Davis called out the league itself? Do you remember this at all? Anthony Davis said, remember, the three players announced for Defensive Player of the Year, Anthony Davis is not one of them. It was Rudy Gobert. It was Bam Adebayo from Miami. And it was, of course, Victor Wembanyama. And it won't surprise me if Wembanyama wins it, even though he's a rookie. There is no Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis came out and said, quote, I'll never get Defensive Player of the Year. They're not giving it to me. The league doesn't like me. I'm the best defensive player in the league. I can switch 1 through 5. I can guard the pick and roll. The best in the league from a big standpoint. I block shots. I rebound. I don't know what else to do. I'm over it. I'm done with accolades and individual awards. Done with winning a championship, too, because his team was eliminated. But, yeah, that's more and more teams, or players, I should say, and more announcers are feeling comfortable about calling out either players or leagues. Charles Barkley did it. Charles Barkley said, for all you punks and idiots and jackasses on other networks who want to be media and want all the players to like y'all, do your damn job. The Lakers suck and the Suns suck because of the players. This goes back to what I was saying earlier on the show, not this morning, but in the past. We want to criticize coaches, and for good reason. I'm not saying they don't deserve any blame. But you and I both know. You and I both know. The NBA, for example, is a players' league. We see these great shots of team huddles. Let's go full sound up with the players listening to the coach, and the coach is mic'd up. Let's go inside the huddle and hear what Monty Williams has to say. Give me the dry erase board and draw up a play. That's great stuff. And it is. It's good access. I love it. You should love it too. But for the most part, that is, it's a players' league. We say it all the time. The only time we criticize coaches is in losses. Wins, we credit the player. Look, I did it too. I said it this morning. Luka Doncic, 35-10. How come we're not getting throwing any flowers at Jason Kidd's feet? Charles Barkley said last night in the postgame, Boston and Miami, they're raving about what the Celtics did. He goes, I'm not going to give them any flowers. I'm not giving them any candy. They should have blown them out. He's right. He's absolutely right. This is what's become, though. I don't know where it started or when it started or who it started with. But there is the fear that you're not going to get your exclusive. You're not going to be able to sit a guy down. You're not going to be able to talk to him in an extended interview because he holds the power. Tiger Woods, LeBron James, whatever. Have you ever noticed that? If you criticize certain individuals, they hold it against you. And that's what's happened. But those are good examples right there of broadcasters being willing to say, you know, this guy's, he's not very good. He hasn't done a good job. I've done that in the past. I think you have to pick your spots, and I think you have to be careful with it. Charles Barkley doesn't have to worry about it. He doesn't have to face the same team every single day. He doesn't have to travel with that team. He's being honest. He should be. He doesn't take friendships into his job. It's part of the reason he is so effective at what he does. I don't think he's a great analyst. I don't think he'd be a really good courtside analyst. Of course, they do have Stan Van Gundy, for crying out loud. TNT. Why doesn't that ever get brought up, just out of curiosity? Like, remember when Matt Millen was the second analyst on Fox? It was John Madden, and then it was Matt Millen. Matt Millen was really good. He becomes the general manager of the Detroit Lions and proceeds to stink. Just awful. Goes back to the booth, and is primarily Big Ten Network now. And people just don't want to hear it. People are like, give me a break. This guy was so bad, so on and so forth. Okay. Hurt the reputation. I understand it. How come that doesn't happen with Stan Van Gundy? Like, people go to seek out his advice. I mean, he literally said not too long ago, the problem, I think, for Detroit is, what are you going to do with your cap space? Where are you going to try and win? My guest Tom Gores wants to get this thing done quickly, not sit around and wait on a young core. I think that's probably the right approach. You screwed this franchise. And you got members of the media seeking your advice. What would you do now for the Pistons when he was in charge of the Pistons? How absurd is that? We blame so many people. This is so hypocritical in the media. We blame so many people for so many different things, different walks of life, different avenues. Doesn't have to be just sports. While they're doing it, then when they're done, we go, hey, let's get their advice. What do you think you'd do, man? Here's a guy who says, you're going to have to supplement as you go along. They've got good pieces, Duren, Thompson, Sasser, Ivy. He's naming Cade Cunningham. He's naming 5-6 guys for a team that won 13, 14 games this year. Thanks, Stan. Who in their right mind goes to him and says, I got an idea. I want to do an interview. Let's bring on Stan Van Gundy and ask him, what would you do with the Pistons? Are you flipping kidding me? That's ridiculous. But those same people who do that, what do? They'll go out and they'll criticize this and criticize that. But they were good friends with Stan Van Gundy while he was here in Detroit. So let's ask him what he would do in free agency or to rebuild this team. Didn't you already ask him what you would do to rebuild this team? And all he did was sink it further into the toilet? We'll ask James Edwards at 8:35. See if he's got a thought on that. I do want to ask him. Because there was a podcast out there. I didn't listen to it. But they actually had Stan Van Gundy on and asked him his opinion of what he would do with the Pistons. It's laughable. But the same person who had that podcast, what are they going to do? They're going to go out there and they're going to criticize this person and that person and so on and so forth. I mean, oh my God, the hypocrisies. But we don't say anything about it. Nobody says a thing about it. It's maddening. absolutely maddening. Meyer Hotline is 866-838-4843. The text line is Sports Radio 21000. That's how you can jump on board. Speaking of getting something together and being an architect, whether it's Matt Millen and Stan Van Gundy blowing up their franchises, or is it Brad Holmes, who has had an unbelievable run with the Detroit Lions? Who's the best architect in Detroit / the state of Michigan history? Brad Holmes is getting all kinds of flowers right now, and for good reason. It's been incredible. His moves, for the most part, A, right? Not just the drafts. I'm talking about his moves overall. I think really good general managers, they have to decide, they have to recognize when things go awry, what's working and what's not working. Cut bait, if you will. I could think of probably two others. Look, Scott Harris is trying to do this. Troy Weaver is trying to do this to no avail. Steve Yzerman is trying to do this. Who are the best architects that Detroit has ever had? Jack McCloskey of the Pistons. I mean, he's the one who drafted Isaiah Thomas. He's the one who drafted Joe Dumars and John Sally and Dennis Rodman. He's the one who traded for Vinnie Johnson and Bill Laimbeer and Mark Aguirre and Rick Mahorn and Adrian Dantley. You can't deny that. He got championships out of it. Bill LaJoy, he's the one who built the 84 Tigers. And look, I don't think it's just an architect of a championship team. Dave Dombrowski was pretty damn good. Did he set the organization back to, quote-unquote, go for it by trading a lot of young talent? A lot of that young talent wasn't very good. So that's the downside of his tenure in Detroit. But he did make them extremely competitive. If you don't think Joe Dumars was a really good architect, you haven't paid attention. Look at how good the Pistons were, not just with the one championship, but contending regularly in the Eastern Conference Finals, regularly in the postseason. And, of course, Jimmy Devolano. Jimmy Devolano is probably the best architect. How do you deny that? And I'm not picking just one guy from each team, because I said Bill LaJoy and Dave Dombrowski. You don't have to go from just one team. I said Joe Dumars and Jack McCloskey. Now, granted, except for Dombrowski, it ended up in a world championship. Tigers should have had, I think, two World Series championships under Dombrowski. I think they should have won in 2006 when losing to the Cardinals. And I think 2013 when they lost to the Orioles, his mistake bringing in Brad Ausmus. Or 2016. Is that what it was? I forget which year that was. Because they lost to Boston in one of those years. Was that 2013? Okay. Either way, should have had it, right? The Joaquin Benoit giving up the Grand Slam to David Ortiz, losing to Baltimore. I'm not counting the San Francisco. The Giants were just better that year, period, 2012. Anyway, those architects, that's who Brad Holmes is trying to be. Brad Holmes will probably, if the Lions ever win that Super Bowl, and Ben Raven is the guy we talked to yesterday. We'll replay that at 7:35. He covers the Lions for MLive.com. We asked him about Brad Holmes. If he does, he'll probably be viewed as the greatest architect this city has ever had, because the Lions have never done it, because the Lions were so bad. The other guys inherited just as bad situations. When Jimmy Devolano took over the Red Wings, they were horrid. You know the stories. They were called the Dead Wings. They were giving away cars once in a while just to get people into the building. And it started with what? The key piece for Devolano. It was drafting Steve Yzerman. It was the start. Took a while to get there, but it was the start. For McCloskey, it was drafting Isaiah Thomas. Took a while to get there, but it was a start. For LaJoie, it was multiple players. It was the drafting of Trammell and Whitaker, first-round pick of Kirk Gibson, so on and so forth. You know the stories. I don't need to rehash it for you. For Dumars, it was overcoming some of his mistakes. But bringing in guys. His wasn't as much drafting, I don't think. His was more about trading for Ben Wallace, trading for Richard Hamilton, acquiring Rasheed Wallace, bringing in Chauncey Billups. That wasn't a homegrown team. Phone number on the Meyer hotline, 866-838-4843. We can text to the show Sports Radio to 21,000. Or X's and Bros throughout the great state of Michigan. The Huge Show a little bit later on today from 3 until 6 right here on the Michigan Sports Network. Stay with us.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meyer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeyerLPGAClassic.com.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state. And Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's DoreNMayhew or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
We play for the thrill, that rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soaring Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.